I am open to reinvention. And so this mantle as the Oprah of menopause, which again, literally the idea came in like the shower. Like I was like, I'm like the Oprah of menopause. That's what I'm doing. I'm asking questions. I'm bringing people together. I'm holding space for people. I feel like so blessed because this feels like it just came to me. It feels like a calling. And the beauty of being free to accept it, to answer the call, happened because I put myself in this place where I am open to reinvention.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hello, amazing Reinvention Rebels. Welcome to another episode of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I am so excited that you have joined me today. And as usual, you are in for a treat. I cannot wait to introduce you to my guest today, Lori Tharps, who is amazing. You'll hear her story in just a couple of moments. But I wanted to welcome you to the episode. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I'm so glad you're here for what will be an inspiring story of reinvention. What I like to do is open up every episode and share a recent review. This Apple Podcast review is from Mella, and it's entitled Spark of Inspiration. As someone who's going through an early midlife crisis, I love listening to Wendy and all the fabulous guests. It is simply the inspiration and motivation I've been looking for as I shift more towards my passion projects. Thank you, Wendy, for making a difference by following your passion and putting all the effort that it takes to do your own independent podcast. Well, thank you, Mella. I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to write this review. I very much appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being a loyal listener. I am so happy that the podcast resonates with you. And it really points to the fact that this podcast, even though it's really targeted for women between 50 and 90, has universal messages about reinvention and the idea that we can reinvent ourselves at any age or any stage. If you hear it today and you're moved, excited, love what you hear, please take a quick couple of minutes. And if you would leave me a review, I would really appreciate it. And thanks. It makes it easier for people to find the podcast. Now, let me introduce you to my guest today. How many of you have a list of things you're going to do someday? As in, someday when I have the time, I'm going to learn how to knit, pursue my love of belly dancing, join a writer's group, explore my family ancestry, travel to amazing places, and so on. I think we all have a lot of somedays. But what if you turned someday into today? What if you stopped waiting and started making your dreams a reality? That's exactly what my guest today, Lori Tharps, has done. She reinvented herself in bold ways, leaving behind a tenured faculty position in Philadelphia to permanently move to Spain with her husband and three kids in the middle of the pandemic, no less. That is a reinvention rebel. But that's not all. She also set her sights on figuring out how to nurture her creative side and use her varied skill sets in an impactful way. As a trained journalist, she's a prolific writer, but she still wanted more. She envisioned herself as a freelance writer with the freedom and ability to feed her passion for travel and new experiences. And you know what else? All her time contemplating what's possible led her to create My Bloody Hell, a podcast and membership community for women in their menopause journey. Oh, yes, please. You know I need that. As the self-appointed Oprah of menopause, Lori's reinvention has opened a host of new opportunities, and I can't wait for you to hear about her multifaceted reinvention journey. Lori Tharps, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you so much for having me, Wendy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Lori, you have an incredible reinvention story, and I am excited to talk about this. I mean, one, we're both podcasters, so we have this shared love of podcasting, and we'll talk a little bit about this. But I have to ask you, how do you pack up your family? Not just like, it's not just you, but you have a spouse, you have three children. How do you actually pack up and do this? Tell us a little bit about how you actually got started on this reinvention journey and moved to another continent.
Yes. I honestly still have a little bit of PTSD because it was the actual process was hard. And I do have to just make the correction. I do have three children, but only two of them came with us to Spain because my eldest son is 20 and he decided that he wanted to stay in the United States. But just to give you a little backstory, my husband is Spanish. He's from the south of Spain. And we met in college. I spent my junior year of college in Salamanca, Spain, which is it's about 2 hours west of Madrid. And we met, we fell in love. It's such a kind of cliched story, but we met and fell in love, and he followed me back to the United States. And we married 7 years after we met. I mean, it was a long back and forth relationship, but we met, fell in love, got married, had kids. And we basically decided that we would live in the United States because at the time, the economy, the job prospects in Spain were just so much less than what they were in the United States. My husband had majored in English linguistics, so living in an English-speaking country was something that he had always wanted to do anyway. And so, you know, the plan was if we live in the United States, we'll spend our summers in Spain so that we can still have somewhat of a global, multicultural, bicultural life, if you will. However, life happened, and having three children made the idea of traveling over to Europe on a regular basis impossible. And I'm a writer. My husband is a teacher, you know, and we didn't have the type of salaries that would, you know, allow us to do that type of traveling. So over the years, I mean, multiple years would go by and my husband wouldn't see his family. And it got to the point in 2019, we actually had an opportunity to spend 6 weeks in Spain. And this was because I had, by this point, I was working as a professor at Temple University, and I had the opportunity I got a research grant to do some research about the Black experience in Spain, which is one of the things I'm interested in and I've written about in the past. And so we spent 6 weeks in a perfect little apartment with all three of our children and had just a lovely time. And we thought, oh my goodness, I think we could actually do this full time. I think it would be wonderful to live here. And of course, my husband was ready to be close to his parents who are now aging. You know, he's really missed the majority of being an adult and spending time with them. And I, ever since I was like 10 years old and I started taking Spanish, I had always dreamt of living in Spain full time. And I actually became a writer because I thought, if I'm a writer, I can live anywhere in the world. And I thought of myself really as being the type of person who was going to travel all over the world, being a journalist or a novelist. I didn't even know. I just knew that I thought I was going to have a very global lifestyle. I never wanted to wear pantyhose or high heels or carry a briefcase. I just wanted to be like this intrepid reporter, novelist, something. And I ended up having just a very normal life, like a very stable, kids, school, work, repeat. And I was a writer and I published books and I made that part of my life come true. And being a mother was also very important to me. But the global part, the travel, the worldliness never really came to fruition. And so after coming back from that beautiful 6-week summer, experience, I applied for a sabbatical for my university thinking, why don't we try to live for a year in Spain? And I'll do some more research on this Black experience in Spain and we'll test it out. We'll see if it'll really work. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. And so everything was canceled. And everybody said to me, oh, well, you can go the next year. You can do your sabbatical year the following year. And my university even said, look, if you don't want to take it this year, you can take it for next year or, maybe the year after. Nobody really knows, but we'll hold it for you. But I thought it's not going to work because my son was going to be a senior in high school the following year. And I thought my middle son and I thought I can't pull him out of school his senior year of high school. So sabbatical's over. Like that dream is over. And so because of the pandemic, I think, because of the Black Lives Matter movement, because of the fragility of life became so apparent. It was like one of those aha moments where I thought to myself, you've always wanted to live abroad. You've always wanted this global creative life where you can be a writer, where you can be a traveler. And you could die tomorrow. We could all die tomorrow. And that's not said lightly. It's the reality. I mean, that's what COVID showed us. That's what the Black Lives Matter movement showed us, that people's lives were not guaranteed. And of course, you know that, but it was so obvious in 2020. And so even though I was afraid, I said to my husband, why don't we stop tippy-toeing towards this fantasy and make it a reality? And that's what we did. Once we made the decision, which realistically, making that decision is harder than the actual packing, even though if you asked me to pack up my life again, I would say no, no, no. But the making the decision, figuring out how to say to everybody around you who says that's foolish and you made tenure, you have this secure life that other people would kill to have, and you're going to walk away from that. Like, that's hard. That is the hard part, justifying this decision to follow your dreams and chase your fantasies. I didn't have a job lined up. I didn't have housing lined up. I didn't have schools for my children. We didn't even know like what part of Spain we should go to, but we literally made lists. We made lists for the lists. And I'm not exaggerating. We had lists and lists and lists taped all over the walls, all over the house. And we just went one by one. We got to get passports for the children. We have to resign from our jobs. We have to pay down all of our debt. We've got to erase all of the debt. We have to save this much money. List, 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 list. And of course, surrounding all of this, there was the potential that we wouldn't even be able to leave the country because of the pandemic. But we just said, we're going to go until we can't go. And so, and honestly, I mean, if anybody asks the secret is literally to make the list, make the plan, and follow the plan. That's what we did. And I think that's what you can do for everything that you really, really want to do is make a plan and follow the plan. And of course, things can go wrong, but you just adjust the plan then. And so that's what we did. I mean, honestly, we just followed the list until we said, oh, look at that. Everything on the list is crossed off.
We're done.
I guess we're leaving. And we, got on a plane. And honestly, we left with I have whiplash from the speed with which we left the United States. Because of the pandemic and because of the speed that we left, we didn't have, the big going away parties or any of the kind of things that you probably would have done if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic. But we just got on a plane and arrived in Spain, landed at an Airbnb. And from there, we started looking for a permanent home and schools and jobs and all of that kind of thing. And here we are 5 months later. It's like almost 5 months to the day. in a beautiful apartment and in a beautiful neighborhood and making things happen. But it was truly a decision based on this idea that this was a now or never kind of moment, because we wanted to do this so that we could take our two younger children so they could experience their other culture. We wanted to do this so that my husband could be with his parents before they became so old that he couldn't enjoy their company. And I wanted to do this because it was a dream of mine. And I really believed that I could be a writer, like a creative writer, and to live off of my creativity. And Spain would allow me to do that, not because it's so cheap or it's so much different, but they have socialized medicine and the university prices are so much more affordable. So I could afford to follow my dreams and not jeopardize my children's health or their future education. So it was one of those now or never kind of moments for everybody in the equation. And we made the plan, we followed the plan, and here we are.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes. I love it. You said so many powerful things. And one of the things I heard in what you said is that you were clear on your why it is we're going to go here. And I think that, you know, that why is so important, no matter what it is we're doing, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter how we might want to reinvent ourselves, we have to know what that why is. And I heard you talk about sort of a multifaceted why that was about both of you and your family. It was a why that works for all of you. But you also then talked about the how, because so many women I know, even if they have the inkling, like, I'd like to reinvent myself, I have this idea that I could see reinventing myself. So they might even have the why, but it's sort of, to me, the why, the what, and the how. Like, how am I going to go about doing this? And I think the how gets in our way sometimes. Like, I mean, I can tell you about all the things, all the projects I started across my life that sounded so good and I had a good why, but I just couldn't finish them for whatever reason. And I really love what you said about how you did it, how methodical you were, and how you also broke it down. Like, you literally wrote down every single thing. We need to do this, big or small. We have to get passports for the kids. We have to figure out how to get them enrolled in school. We have to figure out how to get our stuff over there. We have to figure out how to get rid of what we're getting rid of. And I feel like so much of reinventing ourselves has to be this combination of, why do I want to do this? Why do I want my life to be different? And how can I make this happen?
That's really, really key, Wendy, because I actually signed up for a class. It was literally like called a clarity class, because I, like you said, I kind of had the inkling, but I didn't know how to get from A to C, right? And one of the things that the first things that they taught us in the class was to get clear on your why. Absolutely. Because when the how gets tricky, you need to be able to come back to your why and remind yourself that there is a why, and that why better be strong, because again, the how might become difficult. So they told us, figure out your why and then believe that the how will become apparent. You know, that there's a lot of quotes, but I think it was Martin Luther King Jr., but the idea that if you take the first step, the rest of the steps will become clear, something to that effect. But you just have to take the first step, and then the rest of the steps will, you know, will appear before you. Now, like you said, we had a lot of lists and steps. Sometimes things got messed up. I mean, the first we purchased our tickets, and then the next day the flight was canceled. So what do you do? You know, you've got to pivot sometimes. You've got to adjust sometimes. You know, we plan to sell all our furniture. Nobody bought the big stuff. What do you do? I mean, there are so many times when even your best laid plans, the how doesn't seem to, you know, work. But the idea that you keep moving forward, believing that the steps will, you know, they will be revealed to you is really critical. And I mean, there's so many like cliched sayings, but believe it or not, those sayings really make sense. People say that a body, you know, this is physics, that a body in motion stays in motion. So if you put your plan in action and you start and you keep moving forward, even if it's tiny little steps, like I would say to myself sometimes, you know, I have to do something every day to move us forward with this plan. And sometimes the only thing I would do, like I remember, because I wrote everything down, I kept a very clear journal because I was like, I'm going to want to remember this. But I remember one day I just took my son to the doctor to get his shots. You know, he had to get his immunization shots. And after that, I just took a walk with my friend because I was just so overwhelmed. But at least I did one thing. And that's like, I didn't beat myself up or throw the whole plan out the window. I did one little thing that day. It just kept going. I crossed it off of the major list and I could still cross one thing off. So I think that's really like what you said. It's so easy to have your why and then you somehow never finish. And I think it's the idea that if you just keep moving forward with the plan, you just cannot stop. You can slow down. And like, maybe I wouldn't have made it this year. Maybe I might have made it next year if I kept going. But if you just keep going, I think that's the thing. And I was lucky to have a husband who wanted this for different reasons. Mind you, we had different whys. But when I would be like, oh my gosh, oh no, it's not going to work, he would be like, come on. And when he would say like, oh my gosh, this is terrible, I would, you know, animate him. So I do think it's helpful to have a partner in crime if you can. I mean, if it's not a spouse, it can be a friend. It could be someone on the other side who's already there, who's helping you. But there is something to be said about having somebody, you know, cheering you on, reminding you of your why. And I, even my next door neighbor who had lived in Spain before, she was always asking me, you know, how's it going? And she was always offering suggestions. So having your own kind of personal cheering squad is also super helpful. I think when you're talking about the how, is setting that kind of thing up too, is not trying to do it all by yourself.
I think that is so key, this idea that we can invite in people to support us in our reinvention journey, which could show up, of course, in many different ways, depending upon what it is, whether it's a friend, a family member, this idea of what I like to call a guide on the side. And right, people often, and to your point, Lori, people often show up when we have the willingness and the desire, when we're taking forward motion, even though often we don't know how it's going to unfold, as you so beautifully expressed. You just had this desire, you had your why, you started on your list of hows, and you trusted that it was going to really work out. And part of what I hear in a lot of what you said is that it's really about your mindset, that you have to have this mindset of possibility. And even though we're stepping out often in fear, it doesn't mean that just because, I mean, it's a big deal to move to another continent. Even if your husband is from there, it's still a big deal to uproot your entire life.
Absolutely. Because he's, even though he's from here, he's never lived here as an adult. It was like, and we moved to a city that he'd never been in. I mean, we both were like fish out of water. And fun fact, we got here and because he hasn't lived here, he had no like the equivalent of your social security card and he didn't have anything. Yeah. I actually have more documentation. Like everything's in my name because he's like a persona non grata here. We were both, my point in saying that is just that we were both completely like new to this experience, but that was actually a good thing in a way because it made us more bonded in this adventure, if you will.
I totally can see that. And I love how you just like work synergistically to kind of figure it out and what a difference that makes. Hey, amazing listeners. Are you feeling a little social? Come join me on social media for a big dose of inspiration. You'll find me on Instagram at Reinvention Rebels. Same thing on Facebook. And also I'm on Twitter at Rebels Reinvent. I look forward to seeing you soon. One thing I also heard you talk about, and I think this is so key to reinvention, is that we have our guides on this side, the people that are totally like, girl, you can make this happen. And I'm here to help you make it happen. And whatever I can do, people that are offering to help us and show up in unexpected ways, and they're right there. But you also talked about the other side, our family or the naysayers or the people who are thinking, are you crazy? Like, why would you leave? How could you take your tenured position that you worked so hard to get, Lori Tharps, and just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go follow my dreams. I totally hear you when you say that. And I think that this is so key to reinvention because it's very, I think, especially for women, I feel like there's a gender difference in that men often say, I want to do X. And often they don't know how, but they just are like, I'm going to make it happen. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm just going to go for it. Where I feel like women often, not every woman, because obviously I interview all kinds of amazing women that are like, whatever, I'm going to make this happen unapologetically. But I feel like a lot of people listening, though, may be in the mindset of, well, society says, my family says, whoever that thing is that has that little voice in your head that's saying, well, should you really do this? I'm curious about your thoughts, Lori, around how we can start to shift this sometimes limiting mindset when, you know, we love our families and we know that our families are only trying to, they're just working from what they know often, right? And or their experience. And so sometimes their reticence may be about their own fears, maybe not even ours. And do you have any suggestions for how listeners can sort of dip their toe into, I want to get beyond those voices from other people that may be limiting my thinking and really move forward? How do you think we can start to do that more wholly or more effectively?
That's such a great question, Wendy. And it's something that, of course, I had to struggle with because I'm susceptible to society, my family members, my parents, who all had wise counsel not to do what I did.
Right.
And not only as a woman, but as a Black woman in academia who had achieved the position of tenure, I'm like a unicorn in the desert.
Yes.
And I have children. Like, if you look at the statistics, I should not have tenure. Like, I really have achieved something that a lot of women, again, would literally chew off their left arm to achieve, women and men, to be honest. But
yes.
Again, stability, a job for life, you know, free tuition for my children, all of these benefits that, again, people would literally probably kill somebody to have that kind of salary, security, benefits, all of those things. Not to mention, and this is key, particularly for people who do have children, people who would tell me that what I was doing was cruel to my kids. Like, how are you going to yank them out of their school? How are you going to pull your son out of school when he only has one more year to go? All of these different, you know, suggestions, kind, I'm putting air quotes around that.
Yeah.
Kind suggestions that I should rethink my decision. And of course, my parents, you know, I love them and I know they love me, but They know my husband, you know, was yearning to go home. And I think they, of all people, should have known that at some point this could have happened, right?
Yeah.
But even they were like, I mean, why don't you wait for the kids to finish school kind of thing? And you work, I mean, they saw me working so hard to get tenure, which was grueling. I mean, it really was a grueling process. I still have the 15 pounds of extra tenure weight, I like
imagine.
To say. I had to eat my way through that process. So, but What I did is really to simply invert the problem. I flipped it and reversed it, as the young people might say, in the sense that when you hear all these people putting this kind of negative energy towards your dreams, you start to believe it, right? You take it in. You second guess yourself. You put your own dreams on hold because so many people who love you, who are wise, who are, you know, maybe smarter than you, are all telling you that what you're doing makes no sense. How could you not follow that? Well, if that works, right? If it works that all these people get into your head, why don't you just start listening to people who say the opposite? So what does that look like? It means cultivating the voices of the people who will help you pursue your dreams. What that meant for me personally was I mentioned that I took a class. I took an online course with, it was a live course with an amazing teacher and six other women who were also trying to make their dreams come true. I started listening to podcasts ad nauseum. I mean, my family makes fun of me because I literally start every sentence with, I was listening to a podcast. And what did this woman say? I mean, they were like, ha ha, mom, you were listening to a podcast. But what I did was I basically made it so that moving abroad, walking away from your quote unquote cozy life was normal. I normalized the thing that I wanted to do such that when I would hear other people tell me how crazy it sounded, I would think that they sounded uninformed because there are so many people doing the things that we want to do already that if you just put your focus on the future that you want and people who are doing it and living it and experiencing it successfully, you're basically taking in input that is going to elevate your dreams instead of input that's going to diminish your dreams. And it's just a choice of who you listen to. The only thing is you have to take that extra step of cultivating those voices. And we are so lucky in 2021 that you can cultivate those voices from people you don't even know. Listen to podcasts, watch YouTube channels, read blogs, go on, what is that thing called? I forgot it was called. The new thing, the newest voice thing.
Are you talking about Clubhouse?
Clubhouse. Thank you.
Yes, I was like, yes.
Go on Clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You can literally have people in your ear telling you until you normalize your dream. And that's really all you have to do, because if all of these people have done what you've wanted to do, and again, it's not one person, it's hundreds of people, then it starts to sound quite normal. And you realize again that all the naysayers are just uninformed. That's it. You don't have to call them names. You don't have to, you know, tell them that they're horrible people. They're simply uninformed. They haven't listened. They haven't educated themselves on the way that other people are living, the way that other people are loving, experiencing life in a different format. So it is the same process, only instead of listening to naysayers, you are cultivating your own kind of personal cheering squad, your own like educators, if you will, and, you know, take notes and learn from them. And I honestly, by the time I got on the airplane, I had no fear. I literally was like, I'm just going to Spain. I've been listening to people who went to Madagascar, who went to, you know, Brazil and opened up a, you know, a clinic for underserved young people in the Amazon rainforest. And I'm like, what am I doing that's so different? It's really not even that big of a deal. So that is how we change our mindsets.
I love that. And that's so prescriptive. What you just described, Lori, what I really appreciate about that is that you talked about your process as an example of how you could normalize this idea that the ideas we have about reinvention aren't crazy at all. And because I think they come from within, there's something bubbles up to me. It certainly happened to me where it was all about this inner wisdom for me about reinventing myself and about creating this podcast that didn't come from anybody else's ideas. That came from me. And I think that when we have these ideas, they're real. When there's something that is sparked within us, we should pay attention. And so I love what you just said about we can normalize this. We can shift our perspective and surround ourselves with people that will be our tribe, that will be our guides on this side, that are our cheerleaders, that only see possibilities, that can help us go from that doubt space to feeling much more confident. Because I love when you said, well, I got on that plane and I was just getting on a plane and I didn't have that fear. So I think we can really work through that. That's part of what I'm hearing you saying, is that as we reinvent ourselves, even though it can initially seem like a fearful process or something that takes a lot of courage, we can shift in such a way that we can feel bolder and braver, and we can stand in that space of reinvention with excitement.
Exactly.
And a lot less fear, right?
That is so, Wendy, that is so much the key, because I remember, I wouldn't say that I'm a fearful person, but I'm more fearful than I am courageous. Although some people might look at me and look at my life and be like, oh my gosh, you're so brave. I can't believe you did this or that. But I know, and I think as I get older even, I get more fearful. Like, things scare me. Like, I can come up with all kinds of reasons. We're going to get sick or something. This will happen. That will happen. What I did not want was to be on this journey fearful all the time and having to push past fear. So it really was important for me to get to a point where I wasn't, you know, operating in a place of fear, but rather in a place of calmness and excitement. And that's exactly what normalizing moving abroad did for me. And again, it was a very conscious decision. I listened to my podcast like medicine, not like, oh, I'll occasionally do this. I made it a part of the preparation process to make sure I was consistently listening to other women, including your podcast, Wendy, who were reinventing themselves. And once again, like, if you do it well, you'll realize that you're just one of many. And maybe your reinvention isn't even that quote unquote scary or bold. And so you don't have to walk in fear. You can walk in excitement and do it bigger and bolder even, because you are inspired by these other people who have gone before you. So the cultivating that kind of other voice does have to be intentional. Like, it can't be like, oh, I will listen once in a while. No, it really has to be a part of the process where you say, like, you know, every Monday or every day, whatever you need, I'm going to make sure that I am somehow getting some input from others who have gone before me and have done exactly or something even bolder, but along the same lines of what I want to do. And likewise, you do sometimes have to shut yourself away from people who have a more negative mindset until you are fully, you know, confident in your own reinvention plans.
I think that's so true about sometimes putting those folks that love us up and care about us, but perhaps don't see what we see, just on the periphery while we work through it. I think that's such great advice about how to kind of manage some of those external voices that can bring us down. And, you know, if it's someone that has a lot of influence, it's our parents or somebody like that, you know, you to your point you said earlier, we respect them. We want to listen to them. But at the same time, I have to follow my passion. I have to follow what's right and real for me. And so I love that as just a mechanism to help us, you know, step into that brave self where we can just really get focused on what we want. And I think that's so important as women because, you know, we do everything for everybody else. Most women do, whether you are married or not, whether you have kids or not. I mean, we all often are in that role. We're daughters, or we might be sisters, or we're caretakers in some way, shape, or form. You know, it can take on so many different, it can look so different, but I think just generally as women, you know, everybody's needs come before ours. So when we can say, I want this, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to figure it out, even though I might not know how, I love that. And speaking of figuring it out, I know that, you know, you quit your job, you moved to Spain, but you didn't have all the answers. You didn't even have a job. And, you know, you had this idea of, I want to pursue my creative process. I really want to step into this sense of more freedom. And kind of combine a lot of your different talents to make it so. So I'm curious as to how you came up with this fabulous podcast. And I have to tell everyone who's listening that I love Lori's podcast. It's called My Bloody Hell. You'll see it in the show notes. You can link right to it. It is so good. And I'm sure I love it because I am menopausal. So it's just what I need to hear right now. It's where I am. So that makes a big difference. But I'm really curious about how you created this in the midst of everything else.
Wendy, it's such a good question. And, you know, I think since I've started this reinvention process, and I'm so happy to be on your podcast because I do feel like I've reinvented myself intentionally. You know, this was an intentional plan to follow my passions. And I have to say that, you know, I'm an Aquarius. I don't know if that matters or not, but I feel as an Aquarius, I'm a creative, multi-passionate person. And for a long time, you know, particularly once I had kids, but even when I was younger, I always kind of got the message from my mother and, you know, other people, like I needed to just focus on one thing. I needed to be serious. When I wanted to be a writer, I mean, I chose journalism because I was a writer with a job. And kind of put the creativity part, like, I mean, how do you make a living doing fiction and creative writing? There was a time when I had just had my second child that I had quit my 9-to-5 to spend more time with my kids, but was still doing lots of freelance work. And I think my second son was like 2, and I started working on a novel, which was my dream of all dreams. And I was bouncing checks at the grocery stores.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Reinvention Ripples podcast today. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and found it interesting, insightful, and inspiring. I've got a small favor to ask. If you love this, would you do me a favor and share a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts via your phone or iPad and share what you loved about it? Do you know that it makes it easier for people to find the Reinvention Rebels podcast when I get more reviews? And don't you think it's an awesome idea to make this kind of inspiration easier to find for our listeners? So thanks in advance for your time, your words, and your review. I really appreciate it.
So the idea of, you know, everybody's telling me that being a creative writer was going to ruin me, it kind of happened because I didn't know how to manage, you know, raising children, feeding self and being, you know, writing a novel. It did not seem to work. So that little bit of fear and those voices in my head always saying, like, be serious, be focused, don't, you know, just do one thing. When I decided to reinvent myself, when I decided to walk away from my stable job in academia, it was a permission to give myself the opportunity to pursue all of my passions, to allow myself, if I wanted to go left. If I felt like going right and then zigzag 2 steps backwards, then I could do all of those things and to see what would happen. You know, I believed all those people who told me that I could not, you know, follow all of my passions because that just doesn't work. That's not real life. And I said, well, I'm going to. Now, mind you, I saved a lot of money so that I had a runway so that if they were right.
That's important. Yeah.
I'm not going to starve, right? Like, I gave myself a runway. But so what happened, basically, I came to Spain knowing, I mean, I'm a writer. I've written articles. I've written books. I've done every type of writing you could imagine. I've done it. And I know that I can continue to do it. I teach writing. So there was no like lack of possibilities for the types of things that I could do. And I was literally just giving myself the grace and the freedom to explore different things and thinking that maybe I'll teach writing classes while I'm here in Spain. Maybe I'll, you know, write books for other people. I mean, again, I was just exploring ideas, but nothing was really sticking. And then I wrote a simple post on Facebook one day. I didn't write the post. I saw an article on Facebook, on the Guardian newspaper, and I posted it. It was a simple article about how much women lose time from work because of perimenopause, because of, you know, different, you know, symptoms from perimenopause. And it was really kind of frightening, the statistics is how much women suffer because of perimenopause and how they suffer in silence. They don't tell anybody, you know, they lose time off from work. They lose time off from vacationing and just having a full life because of symptoms of perimenopause that go untreated. And so I posted it on Facebook, not thinking anybody was really going to read it. And it turned out I got 57 different responses on that post. And that's a lot for me. I don't have that many followers on Facebook. And so it caught my attention, not just because I had 57 responses, but the nature of the responses. Women were literally confessing how much they were suffering, how alone they felt, how they felt there was no place to turn for answers. And it just made me, I don't know, it just drew me to some place where I felt I had to do something about it. Normally, as a journalist, I would have maybe written an article, because we always teach our journalism students, if you see something three times, that's a trend. Well, this was 57 times. And so clearly it was a trend times five, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I could write an article or maybe a book. Like this could be my next book, is something about the trauma of perimenopause and the taboo, like, secrecy around it still. But then I thought, well, these women who are right here right now telling me how much they're suffering, they're not going to benefit from a book that's not going to be published for like 3 years at the earliest, right? So they're going to be suffering for three more years. So I thought, well, what about a podcast? A podcast is instantaneous, right? I mean, the podcast is, you know, I had a podcast in 2018. I launched a podcast. It ran for about a year and a half. So I knew how to do it. And I knew the effects would be immediate. If I did something successfully, then these women would get answers. And so my idea was, again, the main problem that people were saying was that I don't have any place to turn for answers, and I feel so alone. And so I figured a podcast would allow people to hear, would allow women to hear other women who were suffering or going through perimenopause, maybe have the same symptoms. And also, how did they solve their symptoms or resolve their symptoms, or how are they living with them? And maybe I could even bring doctors onto the show to give people advice and talk about different things that you could do to mitigate some of your perimenopausal symptoms. So I thought, wow, I can do that. And ironically, even though my background as a writer has always been about race and culture and identity, it's interesting that writing about podcasting about perimenopause, I'm all of the things that I love to talk about, race, identity, culture, comes into play with talking about perimenopause, because people's race, identity, and culture really is going to impact how menopause is experienced. Since I now live abroad, I'm realizing that where you live in the world is going to affect how you live, how you experience menopause. So, for example, in China, the word for menopause is the second spring, whereas in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, the word for menopause is the age of despair. So just the way that other cultures kind of conceptualize this time in a woman's life can truly impact what they're experiencing. And I love that. I love that kind of discussion and that ability to help women get the help that they need and build community around this. I call it the third stage of life. And so I've dubbed myself the Oprah of menopause, because I
love that.
I'm not pretending to be an expert, but Oprah is not an expert on anything either. Oprah is really good at holding space for people and asking the right questions and bringing people together. And I can use all of my skill sets as a journalist, as a helper, as an advocate, as an activist, as a community builder to this group of women who are, you know, I'm a part of that group, because I'm 49 and a half years old and, you know, it really experiencing perimenopause myself as well. And so then I also decided to create a community group as well, because the podcast is great, but women are yearning for community. They're yearning for connectedness. And I also discovered that researchers actually have proven that women who have a support group, like a strong perimenopausal support group, actually have less strong symptoms of perimenopause. They have less significant hot flashes, less significant irregularity in their periods. And most of that's because of stress. So stress actually exacerbates a lot of perimenopausal symptoms. And so when you have a support group where you can actually relate and relax and get answers, you are less stressed. So that's probably the science behind it. So as a person who, again, I want to use all of my creative skills as a communicator, as a writer, I love, you know, creating the like graphics and the parties. Like we're having a party, we're having sangria, like we're doing all the things in this community group to support women. And for me to, again, bring all of my skill sets together. Now, I would have never thought I'm leaving academia. I am leaving the United States so I can start a menopause revolution from the south of Spain. And if you had said that, I would have said, you're crazy.
What? Exactly.
But 20 years ago, I wrote my first book called Hair Story, Untangling the Roots of Black Hair in America. And I thought it was going to actually, it was just started being my master's thesis. It then turned into a book. And if you had told me then that my entire career would be predicated on talking about Black people and their hair, I would have said, you're crazy. But here we are 20 years later, and I literally just finished filming a documentary with The Economist about Black hair, because it just, yeah, it's just that thing. And so for my reinvention, I will be the Oprah of menopause. Like,
I love it.
I'm taking it. I'm accepting it. I feel like it was a calling because, again, this was not what I planned, again, in air quotes. But as we were talking about before, and I know you've talked about this on your show with other guests, that once you open yourself up to the possibility of reinvention, as long as you're open, and that's what I was. Like, I came to Spain not with a prescribed, like, and then this is going to happen. And I was very intentional about that also. I didn't want to have a perfect idea about anything because then you're going to get disappointed. I wasn't like, I have to have a house that looks like this and I'm going to have this career exactly like this. No, I am open to reinvention. And so this mantle as the Oprah of menopause, which again, literally the idea came in like the shower. Like I was like, I'm like the Oprah of menopause. That's what I'm doing. I'm asking questions. I'm bringing people together. I'm holding space for people. I feel like so blessed because this feels like it just came to me. It feels like a calling. And the beauty of being free to accept it, to answer the call, happened because I put myself in this place where I am open to reinvention.
That is everything. That is everything. And it's interesting, Lori, because it very much parallels my journey in starting the Reinvention Rebels podcast that also felt like a calling. And it was this tiny whisper of Reinvention Rebels when I was meditating one day and I didn't know what it meant, but when it became clear it was a podcast, I just went for it. I didn't look back. And I didn't know how it was going to unfold. I didn't know a thing about podcasting like you didn't when you started. And, you know, it's not like it's rocket science and we can't figure it out. We're really smart people. And, you know, you figure it out as you go. And I think that it's so empowering. Plus, I have to say, I love how you proclaimed yourself as the Oprah of menopause, because that alone was like, oh, I totally get that. Like, I totally get what that means, that, you know, I love how this idea of holding space, bringing women together. So it's the podcast where you have all this information and inspiration, but then it's this next step because we do want to talk about it. There's a lot to talk about. And I think one of the things that was great is you had an episode that was about perimenopause and menopause. Like, what's the difference? Because I think so many, when it comes, like people hear menopause, they're like, oh, okay, well, that's when you don't get your period anymore and a bunch of other bad stuff, you know, that people associate with that, right? But perimenopause to me is a little vague. It's a little sort of a mystery. I mean, yes, menopause alone is a mystery. So that's even more so of a mystery. So one of the things I really like is this focus on a very particular segment of women. That, and I know it shows up differently for all of us, obviously, right? There's no one roadmap like anything in life, right? There's so many different ways to experience something, but creating this space for us to talk about it and be okay with sometimes that we're not okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Is
and
uplifting.
That's the thing. And it's funny because I think that's why I love your show so much too, Wendy, is because I look at talking about perimenopause. So perimenopause, just for anybody who's listening, is like, what is she talking about? And You know, fun fact, the word perimenopause isn't even recognized as a word on most digital platforms. Like, it'll tell you, like, on your iPhone or, you know, in any, you know, digital space, except for like Microsoft Word, like on Twitter, social media, perimenopause will be underlined as not even a correct word because it's so unrecognized, which just shows you how little women's bodies and women's health matters to the global kind of like health mission. But perimenopause just refers to the time period before you actually, before a woman hits menopause. Menopause is literally just the day when a woman stops menstruating, has stopped having a period for 12 months. That's menopause. It's just a moment. Perimenopause is the time. It could be two years. It could be 10 years when her body starts to really kind of stop producing as much estrogen and things start happening to her body that shows, you know, her hair could thin. She starts growing hair out of her chin, you know, because there's more testosterone. Like, there's a whole hormone stew, hot flashes. I mean, but there's more than 47 different quote unquote symptoms that showcase that a woman is actually experiencing perimenopause. But on my podcast, what I'm trying to do is just allow women to share their stories, because as you just said, every woman is going to experience this differently. And really what I want to do is, you know, perimenopause is the kind of physical changes that are happening in the body. But what it makes women do is really reevaluate, just like we're talking right now, it makes women reevaluate what do they want in this third stage of life? What is going to be important? And I think one of the messages that even though everybody's perimenopause story is different, almost every woman has said that perimenopause, like going through perimenopause, has made them think about what's important. What do they want to make sure that they get done out of life? And it's funny, we just started the podcast. I think I've only interviewed officially maybe 4 or 5 women, but almost all of them have kind of had this aha moment because of perimenopause that said, you know what, I'm quitting my job and I'm focusing on this. Or this, the last woman I interviewed, she was like, you know, I'm moving to Portugal. I am not waiting because we don't know what's going to happen later in life. And perimenopause has made me really stop and get focused on what's important. So the reinvention theme, even though it's not necessarily I'm going to reinvent myself, but it's definitely makes women think about, again, how they want to live out the third stage of their life. And we say third stage as if it's the old years. But no, again, as you know, Wendy, the third stage, that's 30 more years. Like,
girl, please. Exactly.
The average age for menopause is 51. Girl, you have so much more time to live. And the thing is, you have less patience for the baloney, right? I mean, nobody is big. Like, at that point, you know, you're like, what do I want? And let's get it. Let's go for it. So I think this time period that you're focusing on in your podcast is the perfect time to be a reinvention rebel. You've lived, you've loved, you've laughed, you've failed, you've gotten back up again, and now you know what you're capable of. So let's do it, ladies. Let's do it. Now's the time. So I think our two podcasts should be like sister podcasts. It's like, girl, you went through menopause. Now go over to Reinvention Rebel. Okay. Figure out what you're going to do, figure out how to get through the menopause. Figure out how to deal with all those hot flashes and the rage episodes. And then go over to Reinvention Rebels and figure out what's important and what you're going to do and how you're going to make it happen. Go.
I mean, you're so right. It is like, we are like, linked at the hip, and it's so true. And I love what you said that, you know, we've been through all these ups and downs and experiences, and now we have this knowing about things, right?
That's right,
that
the
is
knowing.
I when I was 20 something, girl, I don't know anything. You know, I was like pretty clueless. Even after going to get graduated from college, I was clueless about life and what it means to live life. And now we all have so much more wisdom. And this period that we're talking about, reinvention, perimenopause, to me is such an amazing catalyst.
That's what it is. It's a catalyst, Wendy. It's absolutely a catalyst. And again, I feel like I have reinvented myself. So I'm kind of like one of those evangelists. You know, when you like you feel the Holy Spirit or whatever, you know, you're vegan. Yes. You're like, oh my God, I feel so
And you have to
better.
Tell everybody oh my gosh, I have to tell you how amazing this is. And people look at us like, okay, Lori, okay, Wendy.
Yeah.
If you say
I'm like, it is incredible. You can make your life whatever you want.
Exactly.
But it's
a big aha moment to figure that out. Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
Yes.
And that's it. What you just said, I think really boils it down to everything. You don't have to follow the rules. That is everything.
I just did an episode on witchcraft, okay, which sounds crazy, but apparently in the 1500s, you know, during the witch frenzy, witch trials and all those things, you know, I did this episode because apparently menopausal women were overwhelmingly targeted more than younger women because of a lot of kind of prejudices they had against women in general, but older women in particular. And a lot of the kind of stereotypes of witches that we still have today come from this historical stereotype of a kind of menopausal woman who was irritable, grouchy, was no longer fertile. Like all of these things kind of played into a witch stereotype. But what I thought was so interesting is that they literally defined witchcraft as female rebellion. Like that was the essence of a witch, was female rebellion.
And well, then I want to be a witch then.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay.
But that's what I mean, that the rules were not written for women to reinvent themselves. The rules were written when I kind of deep dived into this. It's way beyond perimenopause, but the idea of how much of a second or third class citizen women were. I mean, women were just vessels to carry babies, essentially. And once they were no longer fertile, there was really no use for them in society. Like they were cast off, and accusing an old woman of being a witch was just a good way to get rid of a burden on society. So the idea that women's lives were, you know, made for just the convenience of men, sadly, still exist to a certain extent. So we do have to be bold if we want to reinvent ourselves, because all of society is kind of telling us to just play it safe, be good girls, even when we're, you know, 50 plus, you know, try to be pretty. And if you're not pretty, if you're not pretty anymore, you're not a sexual being, just fade away into the like background. But that doesn't make sense. And it does require, like you said, it's a mindset shift that has to change for women to realize you have every right to reinvent yourself, to cast aside what society said you had to do all these years. And whether you're 50, 60, 70, it's never too late to say, you know what? I'm ready to try something different.
Exactly. Exactly. And you just summarized that so beautifully, that it's up to us. At the end of the day, it's up to us. Because people will support us, encourage us, or tell us don't do it. But it's only we can decide, though, how we want to do it, why we want to do it. And so we have to find that desire within us if we want our lives to be different in whatever way. And it doesn't have to be in some huge way. Like reinvention doesn't have to be this total 180, right? It can be as big or small as we want it to be, which I think is really so important for us to remember. It doesn't have to be this total, like, I'm going to, you know, it does. Everyone, not everyone is going to move to Spain or somewhere else and start their life fresh, right? It could be like, I'm going to reconnect with my body and exercise, and I'm going to transform my body because I'm ditching the stereotypes that they have about menopausal women and our bodies and what we can't do. And I'm going to embrace that my body can do whatever I decide it can do, because it's really powerful. So I think that you are so right on. So right on. So I want to, as we're wrapping up, I do want to ask you one last question, which is about, and I know it might be hard to figure out because you've done so many different things in these reinventions, because it's more than just one, right? It's moving to Spain, it's starting the podcast, it's just really tuning into, you know, what you're truly moved to do. What would you say is one impactful lesson that you've learned from all of this? What's something that you want to share with our listeners that has really been impactful for you about reinvention?
The thing that just amazes me, and I still kind of pinch myself, is, and you're absolutely right that, you know, the moving to Spain is one thing, but that's not even what I really think of as reinvention. It's more of like what I'm doing with my life and how I'm living it. And so what's to me so impactful and what I want to be an evangelist, like why I feel like I have to spread the good news, if you will, is that I made a choice. I voiced my desire. I put it into action and it came true. Like for many years, I've said I wanted to do something. I had a dream, but it didn't come to fruition. Like it didn't happen because I didn't have that like that step two, which is the making a plan and sticking to it. Or I would have the dream, but I wouldn't be bold enough to say it out loud. I'm not allowed to have that dream. So I wouldn't say it. I would hope it and keep it to myself and pray on it, but kind of, you know, fake, not
quietly,
you know, like I know I don't just, if it could happen, it would be great.
Yeah.
And then,
but not like I'm going to make it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I'm just so amazed at is that like, I said I was going to do something that, again, on paper, it sounds pretty ballsy. And I said it, I kept saying it, I made a plan, and I made it happen. And so now I'm like, I can do anything. Like, I literally have that confidence now. And I've been a confident person. Like, if you talk to somebody who knows me, you would never be like, oh, yeah, Lori's a shrinking violet. Lori, no, 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 no. I appear to be a pretty confident person. But that's because the things I usually would pursue would be things that I know I'm qualified to do or the things that they're in my wheelhouse. But now I have this confidence, and it's not like an ego confidence. It's more of like, I tested this theory that you say you're going to do something, you make a plan and you stick to the plan. Guess what? Pretty much you can do whatever you want. And that is the thing that I feel like I'm living proof, and I, you know, want to teach a class or do whatever just to let other women know, particularly women who think it's too late. They're too old. They could never. But the whole thing about the universe conspiring to help you, it's not magic. It's literally putting your intentions in the world, making a plan, sticking to it, cultivating that kind of internal or external tribe of supporters, and just keep going. And guess what? It happens. It happens.
Exactly. And look at you. You are a shining example, girl. You have made it happen. And I love that, because I think we all need examples. We need real life examples of people that have done it, but not only to see the end result, but we need to hear the story about how they did it. And I think you have beautifully explained how you did it. Not just your why, here's why I want to change my life and reinvent myself, but here's how I did it. And that how is so instructive for all of us to hear that it is possible. And we can do it, and we can keep going, and we can keep chipping away at it. And our hows might all be different. Your how might be different than my how and everybody else's how, but that there we all have a how, and we all have the capacity to figure it out if we really want to make it happen. That just reminds me, right? If we really want to do this, like my mom used to say, honey, you seem to have time to do those things you really want to do. So if we really want to do this, we're all capable of figuring it out. And oh, girl, I love your story. Love your story. So people are going to want to know, how can they find Lori Tharps? How can they find her podcast? How can they find My Bloody Hell community? Tell us a little bit about where you are.
I am easy to find at mybloodyhell.com. It's all one word, mybloodyhell.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all under My Bloody Hell. It's Instagram is my_bloodyhell. But again, if you just go to mybloodyhell.com, all of the links for the socials are there. And if you just want to, get in touch with me as a writer or anything like that, you can just go to my personal website, Lori L, middle initial L, Tharps.com.
Beautiful. And all that is in the show notes for easy access. So you can tap right over to all these links. I really encourage you to listen to My Bloody Hell, the podcast. It is fabulous.
Thank you.
And, you know, I was hooked. Lori, when I listened to the first episode and you were talking about like why you started it and how you wanted to have more information out there for your own, and you wanted to help inform other women and inspire them. And I was like, okay, I'm signed up. I'm like, hello. And I just love it. I just love how it flows. I just am just really, really love this podcast. And you know how it is. There are like 2 million podcasts out there. And you know how it is. We can't listen to all of them, but this one just really piqued my interest and it does not disappoint.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I appreciate that because I really do. I really created it to be a service to women and not just a service as an education, which I hope to give people, but also to inspire them and to make them feel that they really are not alone and to maybe have a transformative experience around what perimenopause really means, not just biologically, but spiritually and emotionally.
Wow, you've done just that. And I'm just so happy that we connected and found each other and we can encourage and support each other on not just our podcasting journeys, but just really our missions to,
absolutely,
you know, uplift women. So thank you. Thank you so much for gracing me with your presence today in the Reinvention Rebels guest chair. And I'm all excited about future collaborations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we have the Reinvention Bloody Hell, the My Bloody Reinvention. Ooh, the My Bloody Reinvention. Maybe. Stay tuned. Coming
Stay
soon
tuned.
To a podcast channel near you.
Right? Endless things we can do. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, amazing listener. Are you ready for a dose of pro-age inspiration delivered to your inbox? Pop over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. I share motivation, insights, and articles about how you can become a pro-age reinvention rebel too. Come join us. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help as your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast. I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your reinvention rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.